Jesus. Your name is above every name. It's at your name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. As this weekend, we remember the price you paid because of your great love for each and every one of us. You were prepared to give your life for each one of us so that we could have a relationship with you. You're prepared to rise again, and you indeed are the resurrected Lord. You are alive. You are well. You're with us. You're for us. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for all you've done, but all you continue to do in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you may be seated. Happy Easter, Dream Builders Bunbury. So great to be here with you. We finally got here. And, you know, we just want to say that we just want to thank the oversight and the staff that are doing such a fantastic job leading the church in our absence. And, you know, the borders are open now. So our original plan is that we would be here every month, Dale and I. And so this is the start. So we're praying and believing that Dale will be here in May and then I'll be here in June. And, yeah, we're just really excited to be here with you on this great Easter Sunday. There's a couple in Melbourne, you might remember them, Dale and Steph Hewitt, and four little babies that all send their love to all of you. They said, please give our love to everyone, tell them we miss them, we love them. And they are doing very well. Dale has settled into his job really well, he loves it. Of course, he is loving the fact that he is in the sporting capital of Australia and has been at the football since it started. And yesterday, his dad, Dale Edward, Dale Travis and Dale Kingston all went to the football together. And I said to DK on Friday, I said, mate, why do you, because he's a member and he's seven, and I said, why do you want to barrack for Essendon? I said, they're a loser team. I said, you need to get a winning team, mate. And he looks at me with his eyes and no teeth and he says, but Nanny, that's not what it's about. I said, of course that's what it's about. I said, you've got to do this for the rest of your life. He said, but they are going to be winners. And what did they do yesterday? They won. So the kid knows what he's talking about. But the kids have settled into school really well. And as sad as it is for you, it's great for me, guys. Sorry, they live 4 kilometres from me. So I am seeing them at least 5 times a week, which is really beautiful after such a long time of being apart. So they're doing very well, but definitely said to send their love to you and tell you they love you and they miss you. Well, I'm excited about this morning, and who's excited about this morning? I feel like Easter Sunday is the day we should come to church really excited, ready to woohoo and do whatever needs to be done. And I want you to feel like that through my message today. If I say anything that you're excited about, I'm okay for you to yell out a woohoo or whatever. I was going to say don't go crazy, but you know what, go crazy. The children, DBK, you guys can go out now. Where do they go? Kindy to year one, just up the back there on the right. You guys have a great morning. Well, today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Saviour Jesus. You know, yeah, woo, great, love it. Good on you, Emma. You know, we're reminded that faith in God is very real. It's very real because even though he died, he rose again. And he's very, very much alive. Yeah. You know, we've been working through the passage, Psalm 96, verses 1 to 4, and focusing on verse 3 where it says, declare his glory, declare his glory. And, you know, the start of verse 4 says, great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. You know, he is a great God. How many believe he's a great God? He is indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's all-powerful. We can't outlive him. We can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't hold him, but they found out they couldn't fault him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. The grave couldn't hold him. This is our God. This is our God, people. He's the one who we believe in. He is awesome. He is mighty. He's a deliverer of people. He's a friend of sinners. He is real. He is alive and well. And many all over the world over this weekend will come to know him for the very first time. And I love the fact that we serve this amazing God. You know, God, the Bible says in Psalm, he breathed the galaxies. He breathed the stars into existence. He spoke and he created the world. And this is our God. And as great as he is, he still wants to be in relationship with you and with me. He still wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have a relationship with those that still don't even know who he is. When Jesus was on the earth, there were those that were considered his disciples, and there were many others that followed him wherever he went. He was loved by these people. Loved by those that did life with him 24/7. They had left everything to follow him. They were taught by him. They were challenged by him. They were inspired by him. Can't even begin to imagine what it would be like to just every day be with Jesus, have him teaching you and challenging you and inspiring you. And Jesus had talked to them many, many times. And he predicted his death and his resurrection to these disciples. He was preparing them for what was to happen. So I want to read from Matthew chapter 20. That's good. Yeah, you can go. If you want. Yeah, okay. Thanks. Matthew 20, verses 17 to 19, this is what Jesus said. Jesus was going up to Jerusalem and he took the 12 disciples aside privately and told them what was going to happen to him. He said, listen, we're going up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die. Then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip and crucified. And on the third day, he'll be raised from the dead. And then in Matthew 17, verse 22 to 23, he says, after they gathered again in Galilee, Jesus told them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemy. He will be killed, and on the third day he will be raised from the dead. And the disciples were filled with grief. You know, these are just two of the accounts of the times that Jesus told his disciples what was going to happen. You know, it was clear that even though those that had walked with him, talked with him, done life with him closely, listened to his teaching, still did not really understand or believe that he would rise from the dead. You know, during his death, the disciples left the cross. They weren't there. They left. It was only the women that stayed. The disciples ran. They hid. They didn't understand, and they certainly didn't believe that he would rise again, even though he told them. Even though he'd prepared them, they still didn't quite understand what it was all about. And though the resurrection is hard to believe, be assured it took place. And it really means that Jesus claims are true. We can believe what Jesus has said. He was more than a teacher. He was more than a prophet. He was the promised, anointed one of God. He was the Messiah. And he still is our Savior, our Messiah, the Savior of mankind. Because of the resurrection, every human being has the opportunity to have an encounter with Jesus. Every single person on the planet has an opportunity to have an encounter with Jesus. And why is an encounter with Jesus important? Because it will change your life. And those of you that are sitting here know that if you've had an encounter with Jesus, it will change your life. But here's the thing. We don't need to just have one encounter with Jesus. We need to have lots of encounters with Jesus. Because once we have that first encounter with Jesus and we come to know him as our Lord and Savior, we can have an encounter with Jesus all the time because he wants to be in relationship with us. And so I want to look this morning. I want to have a look at some encounters, resurrection encounters around that time. And you know, just before we go there, I just want to say that it is so important that we position ourselves to have encounters with Jesus. It's not enough to just give your life to Jesus and sit back and say, oh, well, I'll just wait till I go to heaven, because God wants us to go on a journey with him. We need to work out our salvation, and that means having an encounter with Jesus, positioning ourselves. We've been talking about, you know, our mission statement is building lives, transforming communities. Or we've talked about it also in this way of from the upper room to the marketplace. And what the upper room means is that's the time when we come into the presence of God, where we wait on God, where we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, where we get filled up by the Spirit so that we can then go into the marketplace, into our daily lives, into the places where we work, the places where we teach, the places where our community is, and we can be Jesus, we can be an influence to people. And then when we've given out in that marketplace, we need to come back to the upper room. See, it's not a one-off. It's not a one-off. We need to be filled over and over again with the Holy Spirit. It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing, coming, positioning ourselves in that place where we can encounter Jesus, where he can fill us, and then we can go and we can be his hands and feet in a marketplace, bring hope to a world that desperately needs it. So let's look at some of these resurrection encounters. In Luke 24, verses 1 to 10, we see the encounter that the women had. But very early on the Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb. Taking the spices they'd prepared, they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he'd said this. So they rushed back to the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several others. Verse 8, then they remembered what he had said. So even though he'd said it time and time again to them, it hadn't registered. But now they realized that what he said was true. These women had passionately followed Jesus. They'd stood at the foot of the cross when he died. They'd watched them take his body down. They'd watched him be buried. Their hope of a Messiah was gone. And yet here they finally had their eyes opened and they remembered what he said. They remembered that he said he would rise again on the third day, that death could not hold him, that he would be the risen king, their Lord forever. He was indeed the Messiah. This was an ongoing journey of faith and promise for them. They realized that which he told them when they were with him was being fulfilled before them right now. They were seeing it. The women, their resurrection encounter was that knowing that Jesus is actually alive. What he said he would do, he did. You know, you can trust the words. You can trust the word of God. You can trust what God says. His word is true. Peter, the women returned from visiting the tomb with the news that Jesus was not there, that he was risen, that he was alive. In Luke 24, verse 11 to 12, it says, "And the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and he ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and he saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened." You know, Peter knew enough from experience that what Jesus said was true. The Bible doesn't say, but I think the fact that when the women came to tell the others what they had seen, that even though some of them doubted, Peter went straight away to see for himself. He knew enough. He was still carrying the guilt of denying who Jesus was. He had to see. He had to see. The Bible tells us that on that third day that Jesus appeared to Peter again. So another time on, he appeared to Peter after his death. And Peter has this encounter with Jesus at the sea. The story is that they're at the Sea of Galilee and Jesus is cooking breakfast for them, and Peter comes up and starts talking to Jesus, and Jesus asks him to do something. He says, "Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to feed my sheep. Right at this point, this encounter that Peter has here with Jesus, Jesus sets him apart for his new role in the care of people, caring for people. He would take care of the church that Jesus had given his life for. Peter was to establish the church that Jesus had given his life for. So Peter's encounter with Jesus in that moment, Jesus was releasing him into his destiny. His resurrection encounter was destiny was spoken over him. In Luke chapter 4, verses 13 to 19, we read the story of the men on the road to Emmaus. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their face. Then one of them said, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people." They continued to tell of all the events of the previous day and share their devastation of Jesus' death. And it's not until they ask this man, who was Jesus, to join them for dinner that they see the truth. The Bible says that as they broke bread together, their eyes were open and they saw it was Jesus, the one that they'd been talking about all the time. Here is the major lesson of the Emmaus Road experience. After his recognition by the followers, Jesus disappears. Just the fact that Jesus is alive was all these men needed to understand. They just needed to know that he who was dead was now alive, that he had indeed risen. They could now appreciate that he was with them. All of a sudden, the entire discussion on the road made sense. Like a lost key found, the direction of recent events became clear, and the way to understand life anew opened up for them. Because of this new awareness, they recall the recent scriptural review in a new light. Were our hearts not burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Their words point to how emotional the exposition had been for them. Like a message being sown into their soul. With a flame in their hearts, they returned to the gathering of disciples in Jerusalem. The news was too good to keep to ourselves. And you know, I just want to say there, the news was too good to keep to themselves. You know when you hear good news and you just want to tell everyone? Guys, we carry good news all the time. It should be the same thing. We should be excited to tell everyone this good news that we know. And they couldn't wait to tell the others their good news. And good news travels fast, and the news of the verification of the resurrection was no exception. The two returning men are greeted with the report like their own. The Lord has risen. You can imagine, you know, as they get there, the others are saying, "Oh, guess what's happened? Guess what?" And everybody's excited about the fact that Jesus is risen. And then Jesus has in fact been everywhere. The women have seen him. Peter has seen him. The men on the road to Emmaus have seen him. And so then the encounter comes to the disciples. In Luke 24, verse 35 to 36, it says, "Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. 'Peace be with you,' he said." I always read that and I think, I wonder whether he said peace because you'd get a bit of a fright, wouldn't you? If you're all talking about Jesus is risen, this is what's happened, all of a sudden he's there right in front of you. Whoa, be a little bit like, or whether he was just peace, you know, peace be still. For the disciples, they'd heard and now they were seeing with their own eyes that Jesus had in fact risen. He was here with them. They could see the holes in his hands and feet. Jesus was among all of them. He was appearing to all those that knew him and had followed him. The women were right after all. Funny about that. The women were right after all. Sorry, just had to say that again. Jesus, well, it's true. They were right after all. Jesus is alive, and their hopes remained as firmly in place as ever. His words, his predictions, his promises were all very real again, and they were ready and thrilled of the prospect of sharing good news with others. They just needed that reassurance, that encounter did that for them. As they encountered him, they had an encounter with Jesus. What about us? What will your resurrection encounter be? Because I know and I believe that Jesus died and rose again, not just for those that walked with him back then, but for those that down the corridors of time would need a saviour. And that is us. That is today. That is people all over our world. And Beck and Helen, you can come. For us who today can hear the amazing story and still know the power and the life that comes from having an encounter with a resurrected Christ. The resurrection is about new life. And maybe you're here today and you don't have a personal relationship with God. God is, he did this for you. He looked down the corridors of time and he saw your face and he saw my face. And he sees all the faces around that don't yet have that personal relationship with him. When Jesus died, he died to take the sin of the world. He died so that you and I could be reconciled to God and have the opportunity to live forever with him. Just because those that knew him didn't believe, just because those that knew him didn't believe, didn't understand, didn't mean that it was the end, because he came to them. He showed himself to them. And just because people today don't believe in the resurrection doesn't mean it's not true. Doesn't mean it's not for them. They might think right now it's not for them, but I'm telling you, church, get ready, because we are living in a day where people are without hope. They're without purpose. They're without destiny. And they need to hear this story. They need to hear that they can have an encounter with the living God. When we believe, our eyes are open to see all that God has for us. It's not until you actually believe. People can hear it, but when they believe, they see the power of what God has for each and every one of us. When the women encountered Jesus, they remembered and believed all that he'd said. His word was truth, and it still is. When Peter encountered Jesus, he heard Jesus speak out his destiny. When his followers on the road encountered Jesus, when they ate together, their eyes were opened and they knew life like they'd never seen it before. When Jesus encountered the disciples in that room, they saw him and they received the instruction to go. Jesus said to them, as the Father sent me, so I send you. When you have an encounter with Jesus, you can be sure your life will be changed. You will look down, you will look back over your life and you'll see the moments where God was right there with you. You may not have recognized it back then, but you will recognize it when your eyes are opened and you see. You can trust his words of truth. You can feel the peace that only God can give. Become a part of who you are. You'll be sure to discover his plan for your life, your destiny. You'll be assured of a home in heaven forever. Why would we not want that? Why would we not want destiny spoken over our life? Why would we not want a home in heaven, a relationship with the God of the universe, the God that created all things? Because of the resurrection, we can continually have an encounter with Jesus, and we need to if we are going to be those that declare his glory, which is what we've been talking about with our lives. If our life declaring his glory is when we tell of his salvation, we tell of his marvelous works, when we speak to a world that desperately needs a savior, resurrection encounter can happen for everyone. And I just want to say right now, I wonder, would you, girls are going to do an item right now, and I want you just to open your heart. Just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. Will you just let God speak to you right now? I guess what I'm saying is, will you just open yourself up to have an encounter with Jesus right now as the girls share this item, and then I'm going to come back and finish. Thanks, girls. Oh, how sweet the sound. And just like in that picture, you saw Jesus with all the love. His eyes reach down and lift that man to wholeness. Today it can happen for you. Jesus waits for us. He waits for each and every one of us to come to that place in our lives where we realize we don't have it all together, where we need hope, where we need help, where we need peace. We need peace with God. When we realize that without grace, there is no hope for us. But His grace is there for each and every one of us. This great and mighty God that spoke the world into existence, that breathed the stars into the universe, wants to have an encounter with each and every one of us. We need that resurrection encounter. We need to know Jesus. I wonder, would you close your eyes and bow your head right now? And I just want to ask you, have you had that encounter with the risen Lord, with the risen Saviour, the one who died, gave His life, rose again, so that you could have a personal relationship with Him? His heart is for you. His life was given for you. If you're here today and you don't have that personal relationship with God, or maybe you have known Him in the past and you've walked away, and today you realize you need to come back, you need to have that encounter with Him, I wonder, would you just in a moment raise your hand so that we can see it, because we'd love to pray with you and help you on your journey. If you've never known Jesus, or if you have known Him and walked away, today is your day. Resurrection Sunday, the day we celebrate a risen God. You know, people all over our world are serving gods that are dead or that aren't even real. But we get the opportunity to serve a risen God, God that loves us so much. If that's you today, you've never made that decision, today you want to come and say, you know what, I want to have an encounter with Jesus. Would you just raise your hand right now so that I can see it? We're not going to embarrass you. We just want to see your hand. And then after the service, yeah, thank you, I see your hand. Anyone else? Yeah, thank you, I see your hand. Anyone else? We're just going to ask you after the service to just come forward and have some of our oversight members down here, and they just love to pray with you, help you on this journey. Anyone else that just wants to today declare, I need to have an encounter with Jesus? Yep, thank you, I see your hand. Anyone else? It's the greatest day. I think it's the greatest day to just acknowledge Jesus in your life. Lord, I pray for every hand in this place that's gone up today. Lord, would you meet with them right now? Holy Spirit, we ask you to just come right now. Be present with them. They've raised their hand and said they want to encounter you today. Let their encounter with you speak life, destiny into their very soul. Pray, God, that you will take them on the journey that you have for them, the path that you have laid out for them. Embrace them with your love. Embrace them with your grace, we pray. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that today we'll have a fresh revelation about how important it is that we continue to have encounters with you, that your heart is that we meet with you all the time. We come to that place of where we position ourselves and we sit in your presence. We sit in your word and we hear your voice and you speak to us and you fill us so that we can go into the marketplace, into the place that you've called us to go, to be your hands and feet. So that a world that is desperate right now can have their needs met by your people that you've called and you've given the authority to go. I pray we'll be goers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. For those of you that raised your hand, can I just ask you when the service is finished, if you wouldn't mind just coming forward to the front here, there'll be some people here that would love to pray with you and just help you on your journey. Church, it's so great to be here with you today. I pray that, you know, Dale and I don't know whether I said at the start that my name's Karen Hewitt. For those of you that don't know me, Dale and I are actually the senior ministers of Dream Builders Bunbury, and we love this church family, and we just believe in God for great things. God's got great things in store for this church, and we are, yeah, it's just so great to be here with you. Have a great Easter, and I'm going to hand over to Tim.